we think of international health laws originating as a means to protect state interests against global health threats. And yet this paradigm of national self-interest is being challenged by a new normative reality. What I'm looking to is global health policy pursued as a means to realize a more just world. And so good morning, I'm Benjamin Meyer. And this presentation seeks to explore what I'm calling a normative turn, or a push toward normative research in global health policy. And so I want to thank Scott Burris, who helped me think through some of these issues the first time I presented it about 6 months ago. It's developing into an article that I'll describe. And as I talk about it, in seeking to understand this basis for justice in an increasingly globalized world, I'm going to talk about international legal agreements among states, but also policies among both state and non-state actors that are increasingly framing the global health response. And so as I find norms increasingly relevant to global health governance, I'll be arguing that there's an imperative for normative policy analysis to understand the process by which norms are translated into policies to protect the health of the entire globe. And I'll be arguing that public health law should be taking part in this agenda. And so in San Francisco, I should probably begin by saying, I'm Ben Meyer, and I am here to recruit you. And so my goal is to get people in public health law understanding global health policy, because we're seeing a transition in global health governance from international health law, with states in the international system increasingly relying on legal mechanisms, but shifting from that toward the globe, trying to understand not simply relations among nation states, but understanding the various state and non-state actors that come into play. Correspondingly, we're shifting from health law toward health policy, trying to understand the various non-legal mechanisms that are being employed to bring together, to constrain, to create cooperative networks among these states and non-state actors. And so in trying to understand the mechanisms that are moving us from international health law to global health policy, I want to talk about the mechanism that seems to be increasingly driving this, the norms that are legitimizing global health governance. And so I'm seeking to describe these norms for global health governance, whether they're called human rights, as in the title for this session, or we've heard it described as social justice, equity, ethics, and trying to understand how these different norms, by their various names, can be compared across norms so that we can understand the reasoning why these states and non-state actors are coming together to influence global health policy. And so the article that I'm discussing today really seeks to analyze the expanding influence of norms, thinking through how these norms can create a research base by which we can better understand global health. And so I'll be discussing first the international relations theory that underlies this research, tracing the history of international health law through the lens of realist and constructivist political science theories. And so with realist theory, this idea of state power increasingly challenged by a focus on underlying determinants of health, and I hope that needs no explanation here, then I'm seeking to chronicle the evolution of norms for justice to address these underlying determinants of health. And then finally, in applying constructivist theory, the importance of norms in driving state behaviors, I'm going to seek to identify a contemporary research base by which we can study global health governance, concluding by advocating for legal analysis to understand the expanding influence of norms on our policy efforts to promote global health. And so clarifying the normative theory that underlies this, I'm talking about governance that's defined by law and policy, outlined and framed by norms, all seeking to advance global health. And that seems to be where global health governance lies. And so it's these norms that structure both law and policy for global health, including shared ideas, values, attitudes, identities, and expectations that really guide the global community in choosing the most appropriate global response for the global public goods that underlie the public's health. And yet these norms are not constant. They were not handed down from Mount Sinai. They change over time. And so recognizing that these norms for justice evolve over time, we can study these norms in our policies. Recognizing how international law has been instrumental to the evolution of norms, we can look at how law has developed to pull out these norms, to provide insight into the development of international law for the globe, for global health. But then moving beyond that, seeing the limitations of an international legal approach to understanding global health. As we shift from international health law to global health policy, we need to think about norms as a basis for health governance, analyzing the global health governance frameworks that in some ways are indicative of this evolving set of norms for global health. And so situating this, my study of norms really engages a broader debate in the international relations literature in this debate between realism and constructivism. And realism we have put in black and constructivism we have put in white because we are trying to divide the world into stark realities. Viewing first the advancement of state power as driving international relations, we look to realist theory as examining international cooperation only to the extent that advance the interests of powerful states. Being in America, it's easy to understand how that plays itself out. And so in understanding infectious disease control, first in the sanitary period and then in the Industrial Revolution, with diseases flowing rapidly along trade routes, we really see the major powers forced to deal with health issues in a global way for the first time, with international cooperation becoming necessary to constrain states for mutual benefit. But in viewing this benefit only as a means of constraining state power, this realist theory examines health only to the extent that it affects the economic or national security interests of powerful states. And so while this realist paradigm could explain early institutions to coordinate state actions, what we see now in global health, focusing on the poor, the marginalized, seeking to achieve justice through our global health efforts requires a shift from realism to constructivism. And so in focusing on that constructivist basis, and we've shifted the images to convey this sense of global promise, we're looking to norms, these values, that have explanatory force independent of state power. And in this context, global health policy has begun to unite the global community, both state and non-state actors, in shared normative governance, operating as a means to create a more just world. And so with realism challenged by an emphasis on these underlying determinants of health, the concerns of developing nations, the neglected harms of the developing world, realism alone cannot account for this newfound concern, and we see it through the Millennium Development Goals and a wide range of global initiatives that in many cases are not being driven by international law between nation states. And so the changing dynamics of this globalized world necessitates the development of new constructivist, I would argue, theories that are reflective of the interactions between normative frameworks and global governance. And so I want to examine the rise of these global frameworks, focusing on constructivism as a means of emphasizing our goals, and our reasoning for engaging in this process to begin with. And so while realism will, of course, continue to hold sway, and no one is saying that powerful nations are not powerful anymore, our legal research should not ignore this normative turn in global health. And so launching this evolution of norms as a basis for global health governance, we see at the end of the Second World War a new understanding of universal norms for global justice. And so in establishing the contours of this, we see the signing of the Constitution of the World Health Organization with a preamble that would declare that the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health is one of the fundamental rights of every human being, defining health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. This expansive vision of complete health, a vision in line with contemporary focus on underlying determinants of health, would further declare that governments have a responsibility for the health of their peoples, which can be fulfilled only by the provision of both adequate health and adequate social measures. And so whereas previous international institutions would exist solely to focus on the transnational spread of infectious disease. This focus on norms would bring us to an understanding of international efforts to improve global health. And so while these would be challenged during the Cold War by the power-driven politics that divided two superpowers, beginning in the 1960s and early 1970s, we see a shift toward norm-driven policies focused around primary health care initially. Many of us are familiar with its focus in the Declaration of Alma-Ata, focusing on health care in addition to the underlying economic, social, and political determinants of health as a means to create equity between nations. At the culmination of this, we would see a renewed focus in Alma-Ata, and here we have Halfdan Mahler of the World Health Organization with a young and dapper Ted Kennedy, focusing on the ways that health can be thought of as this state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, focusing on health as a right, and focusing on the other sectors that can be used to address these underlying determinants of health. And so despite the sharp curtailment of international cooperation during the Reagan-Thatcher years of the 1980s, the process of developing this Declaration of Alma-Ata, I find, ushers in a new normative basis for global health. And so with these norms taken up in the 1970s, we have a renewed influence now of norms in global health governance, focusing on underlying determinants of health, taking hold in response to the horrors of the expanding HIV/AIDS pandemic, and enduring in our response to the inequities of a globalizing world. And so while global health governance is no longer grounded in international institutions, or even in traditional health sectors, this multi-level and multi-sectoral approach to global health governance is providing a focal point for our normative efforts as a means to achieve justice through non-binding commitments. And so examining this role of non-binding commitments, whether in the Millennium Development Goals, the Global Fund, here we have the 3x5 program, the Commission on Social Determinants of Health, and the Stop TB Partnership. None of these are legal approaches, and yet they all seek to bring the world together. How are they bringing the world together? And so constructivist frameworks are seek to explain these normative motivations, the behaviors of both state and non-state actors in global health governance. So how do we develop a research agenda around this? First, I want to say that the shift toward normative governance, moving away from national state interests, has implications for what I'm calling the new international health law. And so where we do seek international legal approaches to global health, states have examined this through an expansion of human rights, and policymakers have developed international health law through norm-driven global health diplomacy. To the extent that we develop international health law, it is not simply to advance state interests, but to make the world more just. And so, in the continuing translation of public health norms into international legal agreements, we've seen the rise of global health diplomacy, with health advocates employing norms to advance groundbreaking international legal advancements in the last decade, beginning, as we've seen in 2003, with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, challenging a corporate actor that many thought impenetrable, and continuing today through advocacy for what is thought to be a framework convention on global health. And yet, these same norms are shifting us away from international law and toward global health policy. And so, how can lawyers begin to understand this shift from international to global? What can we do to study this? And so, thinking about this research base, it becomes clear that we need additional research tools, and I'm seeking to outline a research agenda for normative policy analysis in global health. And with an imperative for globalized health institutions to meet an increasing set of global health challenges, we need to look to these partnerships, no longer international, but partnerships that move across different types of institutions, different levels of organization, and different representation structures, whether state or non-state. And so in understanding these governance gaps, we have both global health partnerships and we also have global health politics. How can lawyers be brought together to understand this? And so my argument is that norms are guiding the development of global health policy, and in order to do that, we need to look through constructivist theory to understand these normative foundations for global health. And so with norm structuring this global health policy, I believe that we can seek to understand this new set of institutions that are coming together to realize health in the 21st century. And so, as we move toward what we used to call soft law, what is a lawyer to do? And so, despite the evolution of global health policy beyond its international legal foundations, beyond the states that we've come to analyze over the last 150 or so years, legal tools still are necessary to understand these cooperative structures, understanding the memorialization of norms, the attestation of our agreements, and the accountability mechanisms we create for our obligations. And so now more than ever, these legal tools are necessary, but they can no longer be confined to international health law. They need to become a way of understanding how norms are playing out in global health policy. And so writing this up in the Yearbook of International Law for this year, I look forward to sharing this in the coming months and hopefully working with you in the years to come. Thank you very much.